I was going to go to college when I graduated. So I said, because I never was really that good. I mean, I knew I could skate, but I never, when you saw the pros or when I saw the pros, there was no way I was going to be a pro. When I went to a pro contest, I knew that there was not going to happen. You know, personally, I just felt like, dude, you're never going to be a pro. These users, they're just too good. But my father always gave me a little bit of money to take a bus out to California to skate. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to skate for a few years. I'm only going to be a kid once, you know, after I graduated, then I can just go back to college. And, you know, I wanted to be a lawyer or some bullshit. So that's how that sort of happened. You know, I never went to California thinking I was going to turn pro. I went to California saying I'm never going to be a pro. Because I saw the skaters in person, and it was so intense that I was like, dude, you're not going to ever get that. You know, if you see pictures, but then when you go to an actual contest or see the combi pull at Vans and you see Caballero doing a Caballero, yeah,
change the whole mood, right?
So. Yeah, you're just like, oh, this is gnarlier than it looks like in the pictures, you know. Getting on Powell was like, that was never going to happen. It never could happen. But yet I got on Powell Peralta and had, you know, the number one selling board on that company. And that was the team that I admired the most. So if someone would have told me that I was going to be on Powell Peralta and have a pro model, I would have thought they were on crack.
I was always saying that, you know, not that Steve Stedham would have been the rock star of Powell Peralta. And just knowing now that what I always thought, that you had the number one selling board on Powell Peralta, I just always felt like that was a thing. You know, like, I always saw your star power on Powell Peralta. It wasn't, I don't think it was a huge shock to any. You entered a pro contest as an amateur and got like second or something like that. Does that sound right?
Oh, no. No, the Vans contest, the Upland contest. No, I turned pro. My small Stacy didn't want me to turn pro, but I told him I have to turn pro. I'm gonna get worse because I have to. There was no more competition in the amateur ranks for me. But no, I turned pro my first contest. I turned pro. I didn't stay as an amateur. I wasn't going to be an amateur anymore, no matter what anyone said. You know, I mean, Stacy told me that I'd have to pay my own entry fee if I was going to turn pro, and I looked at him and go, I guess I'll be paying my entry fee tomorrow. He looked at me like, whoa. I mean, I don't talk in negative pundits, but I know in this money that this nigga done lost his damn mind, because you never, for real, I know in his head he was like, excuse me? You know, he looked at me like, yeah, right. I was like, I can't believe I even said it, to be honest. For real, I was just like, I was like, you know what you just said to Stacy? I'm in my head, I'm like, but I just knew in my heart, I go, you're turning pro, that's it. You're going to be a pro skateboarder, you know, and even my own sponsor, he wanted me to wait. I did super good, I did really well the next day, I won all these side events, and then I got like fourth in the pole contest. But I skated, I think I made every run. I think I fell one run out of like eight runs. And then that's when he actually, and he even looked at me and he acknowledged that he was wrong. You know, I mean, like, it was a really a cool thing. He actually, I made him a believer of me because, I mean, you know what I mean? Because, dude, he was like the guru, like the Asian, you know, Bruce Lee guy. He's like, oh no, you don't do that now. You know, he's wise and he knows how to direct you. You know what I mean? Like, he really was like that guy in skateboarding. He had the best riders on one team for a reason. You know, he visualized everything ahead of time. If you could get really good, if you're going to be really good, he knew how to pick those riders. Because if you got Caballero, McGill, and Lance Mann, and Tony Hawk on one team, you got something going on.
It's WCRP.
You know, yeah, you got something, a special gift on how do you get some of the best there is literally on one team and keep them on a team. So, but did good the first three contests, and then he's like, we're going to pretty much have to give you a model. Like, I made them give me a pro model.
That's so sick, dude.
And I wasn't, and I never was thinking about that either, to be really honest. I never was like, I'm going to prove to you. I was proving to myself. You know, I never thought about a pro model, to be really honest. Every contest I did, the next weekend after Upland, I think I got second, and I should have won that event. Like, I actually should have won. And that's where I started to feel, I'm not into racism, but I've always felt it in the sport because of the judging and how they are toward people. But when I got second there, I knew I was getting judged by my color. They weren't ready to let a black person win. And that might, I don't, hopefully that doesn't sound arrogant, but like all the skaters were there, and even Caballero, he's like, dude, yeah, you freaking killed it. And then he won. You know, the judging the way it was back then, and even to this day, there's a lot of the politics and personal people that are in charge of what they write down on their scorecard. They can give you a half a point or a point higher or lower depending on how they feel towards you. They're really not neutral on judging skateboarding literally on what happened in that final heats or the finals, you know. The finals are not the prelims. The prelims, you know, let's just say Clyde Singleton freaking beat everyone by 3 points, you know, like insane, like, dude. But in the finals, Clyde fell every run. So the guy that sort of isn't as good as him almost, I mean, everyone's really good. But, you know, but the winner shouldn't have been Clyde Singleton in the finals because you're judging the finals now, not the day. Well, they'll judge the day because they're like, well, you know, Clyde Singleton, he just did the best run ever, and that was in the prelims. But he fell on every run in the finals. Well, they would give it to you or to me, you know, whoever the skater was. And I'm like, no, we're in the finals now. There's no scores. It's all fresh. I don't care if I was the best skater today. I know that when you have people judging people, they need to get judges that were top skaters, you know, Billy Ruff and Jim Gray. Get guys like that that were actually really good and let them be the judges because they know what it's like and they know what the skaters are doing in the pool. Half these judges can't even do a third of the stuff we can do as an athlete, you know, as a skater, you know. How do they know how hard it is to do that line or... They've never done a 7-foot air. How the hell do they have any idea how much harder to do a 7-foot air is than to do a 3-foot air? How can they judge the best skaters when they've never even been one of the best? That's the problem I've always had with the way they judge. They pick judges that aren't qualified to be a judge. I've always been like that, and I started doing some judging in some of the new contests, and they didn't have me judge anymore because I wasn't having it, you know. I'm like, no, man, you guys are crazy. Yeah, they looked at me like, excuse me, but they had enough respect for me. They're just like, I'm like, well, we're judging the finals now. It has nothing to do with the contest, the runs before this last 5 runs. We're in the finals now, and the judges would get together and talk about their scorecards and move people around. And I'm like, who the hell does that? Like, why am I getting together with 3 other judges to talk about the placing order, and then we move them around? What do we need scorecards for? In fact, why do we need judges if we're going to do that?
It's WCRP.
Clyde Singleton comes from the East Coast. That it was hard for them to let a Floridian win, or a guy from Sweden, or, you know, wherever. If you weren't like the California Dog, you're not going to get first. You're going to be in third or fourth place. And it was close scoring, but you know what I mean? You're not going to win. Like, that's how it was back then. You know, they're going to give it, if you ride for Vans, you're going to get, you know, it's a Vans contest, the Vans skater's going to get the higher placing. I want to win because I was the best skater today on the ramp, and all the other skaters agree with that. You know what I mean? Because most of the good skaters, they're okay. Like, if you skated the best, I'm like, dude, you killed it, Clive. I said, hell yeah, man. I think you should get first. You know, yeah, I want to win. But you skated the best. Hey, right on. You know, I mean, most skaters push each other. That's one thing that's within this camaraderie of the skateboarders, literally. They're pushing each other to do the best runs possible. They want to see everyone skate and push each other. And I think if you ask them who should win, I think the scoring would come out pretty much 99.9% perfect every time.
And I like to add, if people showed their score, I think that would be very important to the people watching And anyone that's into the contest, so you could be like, okay, why is this judge giving this score? You know what I mean?
I think that would be, transparency would be really good for the sport. Politics and corruption and stuff like that, and if they don't like a person, that comes out in the scoring. You know, it's just, humans would just ruin it all. I mean, that's all I can think, you know, dealing with more people and how humans are and who you know and who has power and who has the money. I don't think everyone's a sellout, but I just think that, you know, I sort of think that, though. It's so much more to it.
Are you familiar with Chris Gentry?
Chris Gentry?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard he got blackballed too in this sport.
Yeah, he was a very big advocate for everything you're talking about right now. I mean, he was on their asses. He had a skateboard union going for a while, and that's why they got rid of his ass. I'll be serious. He was knocking on doors that a lot of people were not ready to open. You know, and one of them was how skaters were getting treated at contests, the judging at contests, and, you know, he was looking at getting insurance. He was on their asses, and I've always thought that was very remarkable about Chris, you know, and that's probably why he got blacklisted.
It's WCRP.
Being black and skating, I think I'd already accepted a certain part of being inferior or looked down upon just with the way society was. You know, a lot of people say they're not racist, but there's tons of racist people everywhere, but they'll act like, oh no, you know, we're not, you know, and you look at them like, okay, you know. So I think, but then you accepted it as part of life, and then it became normal. I was a product of that for me, I think. I skated contests. I know I skated better than my pricing, and it wasn't about being stuck on myself. I skate with all those guys all the time, and even them. Dwayne Peters was one advocate of, he had talked shit when the scoring was jacked up, you know, which was really cool. You know, he's like, that's some bullshit. Some of the skaters would just talk shit. They're like, you're full of shit. You guys don't even know what you're doing judging. And even if he got a higher pricing than you, he would talk shit going, dude, you know, it's like, Stedham skated way better than me. How could he get two places lower than me? You know what I mean? There were some skaters that were totally like, sort of like Chris Gentry in a way. They'll open their mouths and say some shit. Dwayne was sort of like the epitome of one of the gnarliest skaters ever. I think people just were like, oh my gosh, he's just talking shit. And then they act like they didn't hear him. You know, that whole thing. They just look down the ground and sort of act like they didn't hear him.
It's remarkable to hear that he spoke up. You know, because a lot of people.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. It was so cool that some people didn't give it. Slavery and, like, not to get into like that topic, but that changed for a reason. There was a lot of people that were in power that were whites that weren't down for it. Never, they don't really acknowledge the power of some amazing people that had love in their heart that were all white. That's how slavery ended, because we didn't have no power. But a lot of people knew that it wasn't right.